traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows in Delray Beach, Florida, Palm Beach Downs in Delray Beach, Florida, and Delray Equestrian Center in Delray Beach, Florida. We've got three farms here, and we're getting all excited. Our winter season's getting ready to start. We're going to have a good fall season coming up here. I'm excited about that. And one thing I want to let you guys know is the fact that we are getting ready to launch a new website. It will be tomorrow at noon. Our new website will be up. It'll be IENTV.net. And you will have that up and out here a little bit later. I got a lot of things changing here. Got a lot of good things going on. I'm excited about it. We're getting all excited because YouTube has really exploded into their programming for horses and, you know, sports and just things in general. In fact, YouTube's trying to catch up with BBS Radio because BBS Radio and TV's got everything. And that's what we like about BBS Radio and TV. We're going to have all this going here. So I'm going to run through the website here with you, and then we're going to start talking about some things that are coming up, a little documentary that we're doing. We'll start running video on the website tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see here. But if you, our new website is going to be exciting. I think you'll like it. The journey starts here with us at International Equine Network. Our podcasts every Friday at 2 o'clock are going to be live on our website. You can call in to us today or anytime at 323-744-4881. To get into us, you can do that. So, or 4831. Sorry about that. 7-3-3-2-3-7-4-4-4-8-3-1 that we have on there. So you'll be able to call us, you know, in there. We have an At the Wire is the first one that you're going to go see. And with the Kentucky Derby coming up here in 2025, you'll be able to, click on there, and you'll be able to see all the live Derby prep races that you'll be able to see there, which is nice. We have links to Churchill Downs and to whatever track that the Derby prep race is going to be at that day on At the Wire. You'll be able to click onto that link, and that will take you directly to that racetrack. You'll be seeing them all live. On there. There's 26 races coming up between now and the first Saturday in May that we'll have live on our website. And also it's got Equibase on there where you click on to Equibase and you can get all the entries from every track that's racing in the United States. You'll be able to get all the entries there and see who's running where and doing what. But this is really important for us on how they get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. Is every Saturday you'll be able to see where they're running, who's running, when and where, you know, that type of thing. So that's very, very important to us on International Equine Network. Then our next little link is Flying Turns. Flying Turns is provided to us by HarnessLink.com. Steve Wolf over at HarnessLink, I worked with him quite a few years ago at Freehold Raceway. He's a great guy. He knows the business inside and out, the harness business. He's just unbelievably, he's like a library. A walking library. He's a member of the Harness Racing Writers Hall of Fame. He travels all over the world seeing harness horses over to Europe and Sweden and you name it. He's been there and done that. And what I like about Harness Link is Harness Link covers the whole industry. They do from state to state, fair to fair, big races to big races. In fact, we got the Little Brown Jug coming up next week, which is the premier, probably one of the best It's equals the Hamiltonian. That's next week from Ohio, the Little Brown Jug, and we're kind of proud of our one of our clients there, Casey Coleman. She's got the top two favorites for the Little Brown Jug this year. And so this goes to show you that, you know, we've got a lot of great things here. We've got Todd Pletcher and George Weaver at our Palm Beach Downs for the Thoroughbreds, which they're just really having a bang-up year this year. And then we've got Casey Coleman, that's just really just at the top of the heap in the harness industry. We got Alexander that's with us here. We've got Wendy Farms that's with us here. Travis Alexander is up over $4 million this year and have one of the best years that he ever had. And Doug Miller, which is one of his second trainers, is telling us that Travis is just really going to end up the year really good and even looking forward to a better year next year. So that's what we know about the harness bit. Flying turns, www.harnesslink.com. Go to it. They've got all kinds of videos and stories and you name it. They've got it on there. It's really a good website to go to. And then the thing that I really like, I relax when I watch this. We have called Quest for Equine Gold. It's about show jumping and the show horse industry. And it's how the people in the industry get to world championships, state championships, local championships, how they go for the gold. And we've got dressage, we've got hunter jumpers, you name it, we cover it there. It's really a good little segment there. And one thing that I try to do is it would be nice to, you know, show the national and the international events, you know, week in and week out. But what we do is we try to show the local shows, the state shows, like Florida, Kentucky, California, Parker, Colorado, go up to North Carolina, up to there to see what they have and their shows. And, I mean, it's just really exciting to do that. We do the Devon Horse Show. You know, it's just really, good to sit down and watch and relax, you know, and just take a look and see what they're doing in the horse business. And what I like mostly about what we do here is it's not all about who wins, you know, and that type of thing. We go behind the scenes. We talk to the people and find out who they are and where they're at and what they're doing and how they got there. That's what I'd like to do. And, you know, for example, like Tryon, North Carolina, it was out in the middle of nowhere, and a guy by the name of Mark Bellissimo that started, well, he didn't start, but he built the World the Wellington Equestrian Festival in the wintertime here. He built it to what it is today. And I mean, it's just phenomenal. They bought 1,900 more acres up there, and they're expanding and they're building. I mean, it's just unbelievable and to see that site. And he duplicated that site again up at Tryon, North Carolina, and it's put a lot of people to work. You know, they said it affected almost 5,000 people right off the bat up there. And from it's my understanding that if Mark Bellissimo ran for governor in North Carolina, he'd get elected hands down because that's what he does for the horse business. It's just phenomenal. The man's just a genius when it comes to building facilities and organizing things. And that's our show, Quest for Equine Gold. Then we have some other events that we'd like to look at. The one thing I like is Chukar. I mean, I like them all, but Chukar's kind of different and unusual, and it was always thought as being a sport for the rich and the famous. And it is, you know, I'm not going to lie to you about it. It is, but they've got a good feeder system that comes from the ground up, from the locals, you know, up to state championships, to national championships, to international championships. And we're very fortunate here to be in Palm Beach County because we have the United States Polo Association. We have their Hall of Fame here. you can go see, and it's a good tour. It really enlightens you about polo and what it is and where they're going. And then we have some of the best polo players in the world here in the wintertime. And they're all, you know, every week it's a different match, and it's, you know, teams from Argentina and Venezuela and Europe and Spain. And it's just unbelievable to see the talent that is there. And what I like about it is you can get up and close to the horses and to the players. You can park right along the outskirts of the polo field, and, you know, set in your car, and you can watch them like going to the drive-in. It's basically what it is. It's like going to the drive-in in the old days, you know. You can pull up, watch the movie in your car, and you can pull up there and watch Chuck or watch polo, the finest polo in the world, you know, there. So that's good. And we got Last Call. We got a California Fall yearling sale coming up. We just had the September sales at Kima. And these are all live shows. What I like to tell you is go to a horse sale. Google from your own laptop equine sales in your area. And of course, naturally, in Kentucky, you got Lexington, and you got the Fassett Tipton, and you got the Keeneland sales. In Ocala, Florida, you got the Ocala Breeder sales, and then you got Fassett Tipton again out in California. Got a Mid-Atlantic yearling sale coming up here October 1st. It's a real good sale. A lot of good champions, you know, come out of there. You know, Leave No Trace came out of there, stakes winner, Post Time stakes winner. I'm Very Busy. Niecy Marie came out of there. It's just a great sale. And in 2 years' time, you'll see these horses, you know, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. But that's the Fassett Tipton sale. It's our program called Last Call. And if you go to our site on each one of these events that we're talking about here, like Chucker, we've got a link that you can take you right to UnitedStatesPolo.org. Fassett Tipton, you go there to FassettTipton.com, takes you right to it. Then we have Quarter Time, which is about quarter horses and the cowboys. We have that that we can go to. That one is the one that I think kids really like, is when you go to Quarter Time. That's about cowboys, and it's about ranch horses. That's about horses that are, you know, driving cattle and running barrels and, you know, doing all the cowboy things. And that's what I like about that show, is it's the heart of America. They got a little bit of everything there for you. You know, they explain to you about, you know, how they get them fit, trail rides, you name it. They explain it to you. They're really good. And they got a nice museum, too. And all these facilities and all these things that I'm talking about are nice places to go to. You know, like we got the Hall of Fame for polo here. We've got a little bit of everything, you know, here in Florida. And it's mainly because of the weather and the wintertime. You know, a lot of people stay here. But the Quarter Time Museum, or the AQHA Museum, it's like the real cowboy. You know, when you walk out of the Quarter Horse Hall of Fame, you're going to have a tin pan and some knife and a fork, and you're going to be eating beans and weenies right off of it, because they've got everything there, you know, and that's really good. And so I tell you, I'm just so tired and so excited all week long. We're building the website. We're getting ready for the season. You know, it's just, it's really going to be good for us this year. Then we, in the next set of events that we have is Farm of the Week. I haven't named the Farm of the Week yet, but we've got a segment there that when you go to Farm of the Week, you can click onto it, and you'll be able to take a virtual tour of that farm. And they'll tell you who they are, where they're at, the horses that they've had there, It tells you a little bit of everything about what they do and how to get to where they're at. And 99% of these farms of the week that we put on here usually have public tours that you can go to Lexington or Ocala or New York or California, you know, Colorado, and you click onto them and you can just see everything. And it makes for a great tour for the family, you know, for the farm of the week to go see. If you're on vacation, it gives you time to, you know, spend a day just laid back and you know, enjoy the horse industry. Then our next segment that we have here is Equestrian of the Week. And this week it's Dwayne Lucas. He just celebrated his 89th birthday. And he won a race on that day, you know, so at Saratoga, no less. At Saratoga, he won the race up there. And so, you know, Wayne's a great guy. I worked for him. He's always been about the business, and he's very efficient at what he does. He runs a great, fantastic barn. It's a show place. All his help is really, really good, very polite. And if you go by and you see Wayne or his grooms, you can talk to them, and they'll explain to you what all they're doing and where they're at and what big horses they have. They're people. They're equine people that like to meet people. And they make you feel right at home. In fact, whenever Wayne's racing, he usually selects a kid from the crowd. And if he wins the race, then the kids go in the winner's circle with him and get their picture taken with the horse winning. And he's a good ambassador for the sport, of our sport, probably the top one in our business. He's fantastic. Won a lot of derbies and Preaknesses and Belmonts and Breeders' Cups and a lot of races, you know, here and there. And all of them, you know, were wins. He won't run a horse unless he thinks he can win. But the greatest thing about Dwayne Lucas is the fact that he is a better person than he is a horseman. That's what I like about Wayne. And that's why he makes his barn look so good and his people feel good. You know, just unbelievable man. Then we have our business of the week. And I tell you what, I think this business is going to be my business of the week for the year. The name of the company is called Farm Vet. They're from Tennessee. And they've usually got satellite offices out like in Florida and, you know, California and Kentucky, that type of thing. They're really good at what they do. You can click on their link, go to there, and they have any and everything that you could want in the horse business. From standardbreds to thoroughbreds to show ponies to backyard horses, water buckets, feed tubs, supplements, you name it, they've got it. And they got knowledgeable people working there. And that's what makes that business really go good, is they got knowledgeable people that know what you need, and they've been there and they've done that. And they get it to you right away. They drop ship it to you. And next thing you know, it's there. The next day, it's either at your home or your barn, or you can even have it sent to your hotel room if you're out on the road. And all. So that's good. And I just love it. I just love it. And then we got some links down here. We have what we call quick links. You don't have to be a horseman to go on to them. It's a MapQuest. We're always looking how to get somewhere, and MapQuest will get you there. And you know how it is for guys. We know everything. We don't want to look at a map, or we don't want to go to MapQuest. But if you go to MapQuest, it'll tell you exactly how to get there. It'll tell you about low bridges, tell them about roads that you can and can't go on, and they do a little bit of everything, you know, with what they do. Then we have Trivago. Trivago is, in my experience in the last 10 years, if you go to Trivago, they're going to find you a hotel somewhere. And you just tell them what you want and, you know, what you're looking for and how long you're going to be there. And they even know about extended stay places and things of that nature that they have. That's Trivago.com. And then, of course, if you're going to be using MapQuest and Trivago, you need to know about the weather, and we got the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel, man, I'm telling you, it saved my neck a lot of times. By not, you know, knowing what the weather's like where I'm going, if it's going to be cold, icy, hot, rainy, you know, that type of thing. And I've avoided a lot of storms through the Weather Channel that I was able to go around, especially like when I got to Atlanta. When I got to Atlanta and I was heading up north, there were some other roads that I could take to get around these storms. It may take me a little bit longer, but, you know, the safety of the horse and my people were my concern, and so that's what we did. We just go by the Weather Channel and MapQuest. And so, you know, that's pretty good, you know, to have there. Then we have events like domestic events that we have. For example, we got the American Quarter Horse Association from Ohio. We've got a link that we're putting up on there. They've got a lot of different shows, horse shows, backyard shows. Ohio is a kind of an unusual state as far as the horse industry goes. They've got thoroughbreds there, and you know, they're really good at what they do in Ohio. But the Quarter Horse Association and the Standard Bred Association just flourish there. They have more fair racing there for the standard bred industry, I think, than any two states do together here in the United States. They're really good. They're really good there. You can go to Harness Link and click on there, and it'll tell you where they're racing in Ohio and when they're racing, and you know, you can see all that. But that's one of the events that we put in. And what we like to do when we do our events is we like to put different breeds and from different states and, you know, do the whole nine yards, trying to get everybody, you know, a flavor of all the horse business and not just some of it, you know, like we do with that. The Wire is strictly thoroughbreds and Harness Link is strictly standardbreds. So we've got an event click here that you can go on and you can see all kinds of horses on there. You name it, they got it. And then we have one for our international clients. You go there and the same thing. You look, take a look at it, and it will have horse shows, horse racing, horse sales, you name it, we'll have that, you know, on our international link there. So that's what I like about that one. It just kind of take a little mini vacation without going anywhere, you know, and that's what I like about that. And then the one show that I forgot to tell everybody about is called Last Call. And that Last Call is really good. And I suggest strongly that if you live in Kentucky or California, Delaware, Virginia, you know, anywhere in the United States, Google on your laptop, horse sales. And what I like about it is you can go to those horse sales. It doesn't cost anything to get in. Doesn't cost to park. You can walk right up to the sales pavilion. You can pick you up a book. They have books at the entrance when they come in that tells the name of all the horses that are being sold. It gives their bloodline. It gives all the information you need to know about the sales. And you don't have to be a horse person to go enjoy it. What I've seen families do is they come out and they've taken my suggestion and they go to the sales in Ocala and Lexington. And they got a book and they're looking through it and they start seeing the horses being sold, you know, for anywhere from, you know, 5 to 15 to 50 to 150 to 500,000 to a million plus. And so what a lot of the families that I've seen are doing, they all get a book and the kids and the mom and, you know, the grandmom and the granddad and the dad look through the book and they say, hey, what do you think hip number 475 is going to sell for? And so they all, you know, they pick a price, you know, from some of the kids pick, you know, like $1 million. And some of the, you know, the dad always said, well, he should sell for about $120,000. And so then what's neat about that is you see who was right and who was closest to the sale, the sale price of it. And you can walk around the Keene on the backside. You can go to the barns, same thing in Ocala, just about all the sales, and take a look at the horses and then follow them into the arena and see what they sell for. You know, so that's kind of exciting. It's a good family thing to do. You know, they have food and coffee and sodas and things there that you can eat. And it's really a nice, you know, way to spend a day or an evening to go see Last Call on there. And then the main thing that I want to talk about now is how they get there. The 2025 Kentucky Derby Press Race schedule. The first race is tomorrow, 9/14/2024, at Churchill Downs, and it is called the Iroquois Stakes. Now, in order to get to the Kentucky Derby, you have to earn points. And there's 26 races that will be held throughout the country at different tracks, and there's races that will be held in Japan and Europe. And you earn points to get to the Kentucky Derby. And only 20 horses make it. And the top 20 horses with the top number of points will go into the starting gate on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs. And like I said, tomorrow, the Iroquois Stakes, which you can see live on our website when we flip it on tomorrow at noon, you will be able to see the Iroquois Stakes live. A prep race. It's the only one right now that is coming up. We have, and every Saturday from here on out, and we'll give you the schedule next week, but we will have them all live on International Equine Network. You'll be able to see them. And it's going to be an interesting road to the Derby. Last year, it was crazy. We had a lot of horses that were doing good, and I didn't have one real standout with the exception of Fierceness. He really stood out. He came through in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He came through and he won that. And then he came in and he won the Florida Derby. And I mean, but he was on a roller coaster up and down, but he's back. His times on the track, he's been one of the fastest horses in the country in what they call a buyer speed rating. And so he's, you know, done good at that. But he was a standout. So now it's a whole different ballgame this year. Starting Saturday at the Iroquois at Churchill, we're going to have, you know, a good field. And I'm excited about it because, you know, it kind of gives you something to focus on. And once you start to focus on it, you know, now you're saying, oh, man, who's going to do what? Where are they going to show up at? You know, and I said, my goodness. I said, let's look at that Iroquois today and see what we got here. We're going to have $300,000 purse. Got some really good horses that are going to be there. You know, I haven't seen anything like this in a long time with the horses that we're going to have. Like I said, we got September 14th. We got the Iroquois Stakes. This point system goes 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. First place 10, second 5, third 3, fourth 2, and fifth 1. We got the Iroquois Stakes. And then 2 weeks later, we got the best friend stakes from the Curra. That's September 28th. And then we have the Judamont Royale Lock the 28th also. At Newmarket, that's really going to be a top race for the Europeans because their schedule is a little different over there than it is here. And once you start getting them points, you know, to get there, you know, it makes it a lot easier. Then we've got the American Pharoah from Santa Anita on October 5th, the Breeders' Futurity from Keeneland on October 5th, and the Champagne Stakes from Aqueduct. On the 5th. And I mean, it's just week in and week out, you know, we have all kinds of races from Tokyo and Europe. The Breeders' Cup, you know, will be November 1st from Del Mar. That one's really a good race. You get 30 points for that race. for the Breeders' Cup. It's 30-15, 9-6, and 3 that you get there. So, you know, you got to really plan your schedule out to get to the Derby with all these different races where all you're going. And to be honest with you, when it's starting tomorrow, you're looking at racing your horse to get to the Kentucky Derby the 1st of May in 2025. You're looking at running your horse, I would say, maybe 3 to 4 times at the most between now and the 1st of May. You got to really be careful where you're running at. You got to, because you don't tell them what kind of horses you'll run into. And like last year, the weather was a roller coaster. We had snow, rain, sleet, heat, you name it. We had it at all the different tracks, you know, and so you never know what you're going to get. And then it comes up with a soft track at Churchill last year on the 1st of May. They had a lot of rain there. So the rain actually helped the people that, you know, were training at it. And also, but, you know, like I said, we've got all those races coming up. Then they start to get in January, start off the new years with, some good races, from Oakland. We got the Smarty Jones Stakes, January 4th, the Jerome Stakes from Aqueduct, January 4th, you know, and then we start heading more down south, to when we get down to South Florida, Tampa, and to, Miami for Gulfstream, and we get a lot of good ones there. Then we've got California March 2nd. We got the San Felipe at Santa Anita. Then this was a new one that was added this year. This is going on March 15th. Colonial Downs. It's a 50-point, 25, 15, 10, and 5. Okay, and I'll tell you about those points here in a minute. But we got the Virginia Derby. And that's on March the 15th. And what's interesting is when you start building your points, you got to figure out how am I going to build enough points to get to the Derby. And a lot of those earlier prep races, you know, 10, 15, 50 points, that type of thing. But now what they're trying to do is even this thing out. They want to get horses from all over the country to come to Churchill for the Derby. And this is something that I noticed here about a month ago when they started awarding the points. You know, you're on a set path and say, well, you know, for example, I could go to the Sunland Derby. They got 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2. Or I could go to the John Battaglia at Turfway Park. They got 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2. Or I could go to the Rebel Stakes, which is a prep race for the Arkansas Derby. They're 50, 25, 15, 10, and 5. So if you're trying to make those points and you need to get points, if you go, say to the Rebel Stakes, if you win it, you got 50, 25, 15, 10, and 5. So you might be trying to add them up, enough points up to get to the Derby by hopefully winning, but if not, finishing a good second, third, or fourth. So now it gives these trainers something to really think about. Where do I go? Now, can I avoid a bunch of the big top guns that are going to these races that are offering, a lot of points? Can I do that? Well, you could do that, but you're going to run into the best of the best. It's going to be like a pre-Kentucky Derby race, especially when you get down to like the Louisiana Derby. That's 100 points. The Stakes and Turfway's really produced a lot of good runners, you know, over the years. They're 100 points. So, you know, it's kind of getting down to the finish line, we might say. The Florida Derby is 100 points. Arkansas Derby, 100 points. The Santa Anita Derby, the UAE Derby, all 100 points. And then if you're really desperate and you need to get just a few points just to get in, on April 5th, a month before the Kentucky Derby, you at Keeneland, you got the Bluegrass Stakes. That's 100 points. And that's on April 5th. And then if you really need just a few points to make it in, if it's getting close and you weren't good on you know, your point, getting your points. The last race is April 12th, which is 2-3 weeks before the Derby there, and it's the last stakes, and they show 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Derby this year, how it gets. You know, these trainers have got to really plan out, you know, what they're doing. You know, it's going to be really tough on them. And that's why I started the documentary called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. Basically, what this program is about is it's going to be about the Kentucky Derby. How do they get there? Self-explanatory. How do they get there? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's an hour-long documentary. And what we do is we start out with the owner. Now, this is all going to be tomorrow. This will all be on our website, and you can kind of go along and follow how we're doing it. You know, and every week we're doing something a little different, you know, that shows you how you're going to get there. And then in April, you'll see the documentary. It's an hour-long documentary, and you can watch it, and then that'll help you understand it more. But on how they get there, we start out with the owner. He starts the ball rolling. He's the guy, or she's the guy, or the group of them are the people that get the horse ready, you know, get a horse to go to the Kentucky Derby. And once the owners have made a decision to go to the Kentucky Derby, their next step is to select a trainer. And you got to find, you know, get you a good trainer that, you know, he's been there, done that, you know, that he's winning races, you know, he's got a solid operation. And I mean, you know, most of these owners have their own trainers already. So you just got to provide them with a horse. So what you try to do is you try to match the horse up with the trainer. And you sit down and you go to the sales with the trainer and you talk to him about, you know, the horses, what kind of horse do we want? Do we want a horse that's got speed? Do we want a horse that's got distance? Do we want a horse that's got tactical speed? You know, just what kind of horse do we want? They start looking at it. And when they're trying to make this decision that they're trying to make, they got to think about quite a few things in addition to winning a Kentucky Derby. One, you want to get a horse that's going to be, you know, get you down the road to the Derby. That's one thing that you got to look for. Then you got to look for the races that he's going to go to. And you want to race him in races that he can win, like, say, for example, if he can win, you know, the Tampa Bay Derby. And that's a good, strong Derby. Good horses come out of that. The Swale Stakes down at Gulfstream. The Florida Derby. The Arkansas Derby, Louisiana Derby. There's a lot of races that you can win. And the reason you got to think about this resume for your horse is, in fact, if he does go and have a great season, even if he doesn't win the Kentucky Derby, you want to show that he can win the big races with the big horses. And so you're building a resume for his stallion career, possibly, if he's going to be a stallion. So that's another thing that the owner has to look at, you know, to see what happens. And hopefully, you know, they can win the Derby. But then the trainer and the owner have to sit down and think about jockeys. What kind of jockey do we want? Who do we want? Where has he been racing? New York, California, Florida, Kentucky, Illinois. You know, where has this jockey been running, racing, and where does he race at? And very important, what trainers does he ride for? That's really important. Because if you got a guy that's riding for Billy Mott and Bob Baffert and Dwayne Lucas, you know, and Todd Pletcher and George Weaver, Rusty Arnold, those guys are usually pretty solid riders. You know, they're riding good horses and they're winning races. And that's what you look at to do. And a lot of times the owners and the trainers are at Saratoga anyhow in August. And that's when you're making your connections with your jockeys And, you know, of course, you got to sell your horse to the jockeys so that they know, you know, that, hey, maybe this guy's got a, you know, a real runner here. You know, we'll check this out and see what kind of, and watch the horse. And the jockeys watch the horses, you know, and they watch the trainers. They keep a running tab on them, on who's doing what. So you usually try to select your jockey right off the bat real quick. And then once you get the jockey, then the owner, the trainer, and the jockey sit down and they start planning out a course, you know, where to go. And, you know, of course, the jockey's on top of the horse. He knows if he's got a horse that can get a distance. He knows if he's got a horse that has speed. He knows how long it takes the horse to recover from a race, which is very important, you know, to do that and get back to the next one. He could be a horse like Fierceness was the last year. He couldn't put two back-to-back races together. That was tough on him. But yet, on the other hand, when he did have good races and got a good long layoff, he comes back, he wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you know, he comes back for the Florida Derby, you know, he just starts winning. But there are long periods of time between his races. And that's not usually what happens with thoroughbreds. But each one is different, and so, you know, and each trainer is different, so... Todd Putcher, that had Fierceness, he knew how to get him ready, you know, in between races. Unfortunately, he didn't do very good in the Derby, but yet he's come back, you know, again after long layoffs and winning, you know, grade one races, you know, that type of thing. So that's what the owner, the trainer, and the jockey talk about. So once you do that, then the trainer gets a lot dumped on him. He's got a lot to worry about, a lot to think about. He's got to get with the blacksmith. He's got to sit down with the blacksmith and say, okay, Steve Norman is one of the best blacksmiths in the business, and I've been around here for a long time. He was with us at Windstar Farm, and he's done some of the biggest and best horses in the world. So then you sit down with Steve and say, okay, Steve, here's where we're going. We're going to Arkansas. We're going to Florida. And New York. So, and these are, you know, these are the races that we're going to. And so he sets up a shooting schedule for the horses. So, you know, you want to make sure that their feet are done in perfect order just a few days before the race that you go to. And so that's why you have to, you know, tell him, you know, where you're going and where you're going to be. And then that way you can make arrangements to get him there to make sure the horse has got his shoes on properly. So that's one of the things that you have to think about. Then you go to your vet. You talk to the vet. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. And this is how we're training. So now he's on board with your schedule. Then you get with the feed company. And I tell you what, the best feed company in the world is Hallway Feeds. Out of Lexington, they can mix your feed for your horse the way you want it, or the way the horse likes it, or the way they think that it should be, because they know any and everything. And if you got a horse that's not eating, you call them up. They got people there that'll tell you what it could be and what it might be, and then you make a decision on which feed that you want them to feed. And the reason you call the feed dealer is because you tell the Hallway Feeds and say, "Look, guys, I'm going to Arkansas, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to New York on our Derby quest." And they've got people that have the same feed that you're feeding in Florida. That same feed will be delivered to you in Arkansas, New York, or wherever you go. They service everybody all over the world. Best thing in the world. And when the horse doesn't get off his feed, you know, because he's traveling and everything, you know, that kind of relaxing. It's the same feed, same, you know, same time every day. So that's good. So now you got the blacksmith and you got the vet, you got the farrier, all taken care of. So now, the next thing you got to do, and this is all in a short period of time. It's not like you got 4 or 5 months to do all this. This is in a short period of time. And I know when I started making the arrangements when I was working on the track, that was one of my jobs that I had to do. Let me tell you, what was different about it is that you got a short period of time and you got to get everybody all organized on the same page, on the same schedule. You know, that's the tough place. then you got to start thinking about transportation. The best people in the world as far as transporting is concerned. They do airport runs. They do, cross-country runs. They do just about every run that you could think of. And they've got qualified drivers. They're horsemen. First of all, they're horsemen. And they're great drivers. The equipment is made by Brookledge, and that they go in the trailers, and they do everything. And so now you get with them and say, okay, this is our plan. This is where we're going. Now, if we don't run in the Arkansas Derby, we're going to go to the Louisiana Derby. So, you know, you got a lot of contingencies in there where you have to have backup plans, you know, and you got to make sure everybody knows that. And so, like, whenever you make it, the owner makes a decision to go, so like, say, from not running in Arkansas, but going to Louisiana, you know, you got to call all those people that are involved up and tell them there's a change of plans, you know, so that you don't have to go without and, you know, you're on schedule, maybe not geographically, but time-wise, you know, you're on schedule with your horse. That makes a real big difference, you know, when you have to do that. So then, the trainer has to start making plans for housing for the owners and, you know, the people that are who's the who, and start making arrangements for hotels and, you know, getting picked up at the airport, you know, and that type of thing. So, that's another thing that you do. And then you got to run a real tight barn. You can't have, you know, a lot of people coming and going, you know, in and out of your barn. And so we always closed our barn up. You know, and the people, when they came up, there's a guard at the barn on all the Derby horses and all the big stake horses usually, and they don't let just anybody come walking in and, you know, and look up at them. They have to find out if they're allowed to or not allowed to. But one of the things that I didn't ever anticipate, it was in 1982, I was just really starting to learn my job and about keeping people away from the building and having people show up, you know, on time and, you know, where the owners park their cars at when they get to the track, and you got a golf cart to get them over to the grandstands, you know, and that type of thing. So, I mean, there's just so much in it, you know, that falls on the trainer, and he's got good help to help them out. But back to my story here. In 1982, we had a horse called El Baba, and he was one of the favorites going into the Derby, and, you know, we'd won the Louisiana Derby with him, and, you know, we were really set to go. The barn had a real good week. We won the Derby trial with Liscopade, won a stakes race with the Cabildo Lake. So we were really on fire. We had a lot of camera people and news reporters there every day at our barn, leading the week up to the Derby. So we had a guy come in from ABC Sports, and I'll never forget it. I told him, I said, sir, you can't be at the gap coming out of the barn. I said, you got to stand, you know, 20 feet away. Well, I want to get the horse working. I said, you can get the horse, you know, working. You'll be able to show him coming out of the barn and everything, but I said, you can't walk up here like that. So I'm walking around with a horse with El Baba, and the guy's staying back. I come around and make the next turn, and the guy's over in the corner of the barn, which he was hard to see when we were coming through because it was early in the morning. And El Baba, when he turned and walked away from him, he fired off, and he kicked that camera from one end of the barn to the other and laid that guy out flat on his stomach. You know, Dewey's going crazy. You know, I'm trying to find out where the blacksmith's at. So if there's any problems with, you know, that and him kicking that camera and he bent a shoe or cut himself or, you know, whatever, you know, trying to get all those people together and things together, you know, so it's going to be quite a documentary, you know, that we see on how they get to the Kentucky Derby. And I think you're really going to like it. And this is how I'm going to give you a little teasers here. This is how we start to show out. A Brookledge truck pulls up to the farm, to the Thoroughbred farm there in Lexington. And the driver gets out of the truck, and a little girl comes running up, and she says, "Are you taking our horse to the Kentucky Derby?" And the driver says, "Yes, we are." And the little girl says, "How do they get there?" And then we go through the whole 9 yards, what it takes to get a horse to the Derby. And then when we get back to the barn, it's Derby time. The owner, the trainer, the jockey, everybody involved is talking about, are we going to run in the Derby? And so they all come to an agreement, and the owner says, "Yes, we're going to run in the Derby." So then what I do is I put a mini camera on the horse's halter. And from that point on, you see what the horse sees. He walks up onto the brick-led van. He goes into his box stall with the groom there with him, with his assistant trainer there with him. And then they ride down 64 to Churchill Downs. And the horse sees all the farms on the way out, sees cars passing by back and forth. And then we see him pulling into Churchill Downs, and you see the crowd in the streets. You see everybody, you know, "Hey, who you got? You know, is that a Derby horse?" And they're all screaming and hollering. See the guard at the gate pull the truck into the barn, to barn 43 there at Churchill. They open the door, and when they open the door and put the ramp down, of course, you still got the mini cam on the horse. And this is what all the horses are seeing. When you pull that ramp down, get the boards up, he comes walking off, and there's all kinds of reporters and people taking pictures and snapping video and, you know, doing a whole 9 yards. And then the horse looks over to the right, and he sees the Twin Spires, and that's how they get there. It's going to be a good show. I think everybody's going to like it. You know, I think everybody want to go see what all's going on, you know, there, you know, with them. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, the business is really a good business that we have. It's a family. It's all about the family. You know, you name it, it's really good. And there's all kinds of things to do. And a lot of people don't understand that, like a writer, if you're a good show writer, you can earn a college scholarship and get all your college paid for by writing, like at FAU, Florida, Texas A&M, Kentucky. You know, they got a lot of good places that you can go to, and so on. You know, I was excited about seeing that. You know, those kids do all that. They're really good at what they do. And, you know, you just keep learning about the horse business, you know, to see what all they do, where they go. You know, that's what I like about the horse business. It's family. It's all family. And even if it's not blood family, it's your horse family that you have. So that is really good, you know, to do, share, you know, create experiences and all. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about here, I know I rambled on and used you more than I did anything else, and all, but that's my job to do that. And also, the last thing that I'm talking about is called traditions. It's about the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, you know, and the Triple Crown traditions. And what it is we're going to have a Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont. We're going to select an owner, a trainer, and a jockey on each one of the tracks. And we're going to have a cook-off. And what they're going to do is they're going to cook their favorite Kentucky Derby recipe, what they do on, you know, traditionally on Derby Day and Preakness Day and Belmont Day. And, of course, you know, in Maryland, it's going to probably be a lot of seafood, Maryland crab cakes, you know, that type of thing. In Kentucky, it's going to be Kentucky burger and you know, barbecue. And then at Belmont, you never know what you're going to get out of Belmont. You'll probably get a lot of pasta dishes, a lot of Italian dishes, you know, that type of thing, and New York cuisine. And then we'll have a winner from each one of those tracks. It could be an owner, it could be a trainer, it could be a jockey. But each one of those winners from each one of those competitions will end up at Del Mar Racetrack at the Breeders' Cup. And they will have a final cook-off at the Breeders' Cup. Hence, Triple Crown traditions. And that's where it's going to end up. We'll be at the Breeders' Cup, and then we'll have our Triple Crown champion, Chef, you know, announced when they win that competition. So, you know, it's things like that and that we do. And, you know, it's now it's time to start looking for your traditions, because they've got a lot of steak races coming up, and, you know, it gives you something to do, and you can get together with family and friends and, you know, do these traditions, get ready for your Kentucky Derby, traditions, and join us here on the International Equine Network for your Derby watch. And then that way you'll be up to date every week on who's who and what's what and, you know, where we're going. That type of thing. And you can see some recipes that we'll have on Triple Crown Traditions you'll be able to watch those and see how they're made and get some ideas and that type of thing. But, you know, it's just things like that in the horse business that I like. And for example, you could do, you know, a 3-day Rolex deal. That's always good to go to Lexington. It's the largest horse event in the world. The 3-day Rolex. It's just unbelievable what they do, you know, there. You can walk right up to the course and see them going cross country. You can go to the stadium and see them doing the, you know, the, Grand Prix jumping and the stadium. You can see the dressage. You know, that's really good. That's in Lexington in the spring. There's just so many things that you could go do and see, you know, as a family and just get out of the house and do things. So, you know, that's what we're looking forward to. But starting tomorrow on the International Equine Network, you'll see us, what we're doing, and you'll start seeing the videos, and you'll see everything. And then, you know, next week we'll have video on here on BBS for you to watch the guys that are schooling me. I'm telling you, they're better than a kid trying to reset a VCR. These guys know what they're doing, you know. And if you got any business that you'd like to get out and talked about, they're the guys to do it, because they certainly can get you there, you know. So that's what I like about it, and on just having fun and enjoying it. So next week at 2:00, we'll talk to you then. And I mean talk to you, because somebody's going to have to call in next week. This is Scott from the International Equine Network, live from Delray Beach, Florida.